Hey, thanks for having me on.
So since this is Washington-based, I will ask you a Washington-based question. What did Dan Snyder know, and when did he know it?
Well, that's impossible for me to know because he doesn't talk to us, and so I don't know when he knew. He's the owner of the franchise. He sets the tone. So he hired the people who got in trouble. That's, you know, those are all the facts. So what he knew beyond that, I don't know. I know that there was the start of an investigation internally, at least with a couple of people, late last week, which led to some of the firings on Sunday, and that kind of kicked things off. But I don't know when he knew and what he knew.
Well, let me ask you this, because I have no idea, John, if you know this or not. How often is Dan Snyder actually physically in the office? Does he work away from the office? Does he come in all the time? Is he in once a week, once a month? Do you know what that habit is?
I don't know that. Yeah, he is not there nearly as much as he used to be. I know that. He spends a lot of time in his yacht overseas. And I believe that's where he still is now. So he's not in the office all the time. He was in there a decent amount, you know, in the past. And here's the other problem. Like, we haven't been out there this off season except for when Ron Rivera was hired. So right. If he's going to stay away more now, I don't know. It's, you know, everybody's been away from the office. But he is not in there every day, though. And I think, you know, during the season it's going to be a lot more. In the off season, he's away much more than he's there.
So when it comes to the people that have been let go, and I'll be honest, by the way, when the two primary scouts were let go, I thought, that's really unusual, but I wasn't thinking anything beyond that. And then when the story came out, that the idea that a story was coming out, I thought, I wonder if that's tied to that. Larry Michael retired out of the blue on Wednesday night. And, John, I'll be honest with you, I didn't put two and two together on that one. What were your thoughts when you saw that Larry Michael was one of them and resigned?
Well, you knew his name would be connected to it. I didn't know to what degree, but I knew that. When the scouts were fired, I mean, it's odd timing for this time of year. You don't let scouts go at this time of the year without a reason. But I knew I'd have been told that day that you'll know the reason why in a day or two. And that's, you know, I assume a couple other people may have heard something along those lines, which is what led to a lot of social media anticipation or comments on it. You know, what's going to, you know, all this overhyping of the situation and the story. But then, and when Larry Michael retired, or quote unquote retired, I mean, you knew his name would be connected. There was no doubt.
Okay. What's the reaction been like to what's happened, especially considering, look, Larry's the most public name of all of them, so the fans can relate to him more than the scouts. So what's the reaction been like around this?
Obviously there's a great deal of disappointment and disgust. This fan base has had a hard time liking this team for a while. It's one thing, like, you know, you can say you love, or whatever their name used with, you know, the Washington, but do you like them? You know what I mean? Like when Joe Gibbs and that team was here, not only did they love the franchise, they liked them. They liked what they stood for. And I think people have been worn down by having to defend this franchise or defend liking this franchise or feeling like, you know, that it's not one that you want to have some level of pride when you root for. I mean, people there are Penn State fans. I mean, I grew up, I'm an Ohio State fan. You know, you want to have pride in your teams. And so, you know, that's what I think they want to have. So I think there's a high level of disappointment in what was going on. Now, you know, all the people accused, they're all gone. But I do think that there is, and certainly there's an element of the fan base that would like this to be a reason why Dan Snyder has to sell the team. And it's not going to be on his volition. I know that. I absolutely know that. So, you know, so I think You know, so I think that's it. I mean, and there's a level of disappointment, as anybody would be disappointed when you read stuff like that, stuff that's going on in the franchise that you want to root for.
Right. Well, exactly. Because that brings me to the other part. In Washington, the Capitals have won. The Nationals, of course, are the defending champions. And, of course, and the Wizards, certainly with John Wall and Bradley Beal, get a lot of pub along the way. Where do the Washington, formerly known as the Redskins, where do they now fall with the fan base? Are they first, second, third, fourth? Because in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, there was no question who was number one by a wide margin.
Oh, that was true even just a couple years ago. So okay. I don't know that, you know, I don't know that. I mean, certainly, you know, attendance has gone down, and there's interest has gone down, but it's still, you know, here's what I tell people. Last year, the Nationals won the World Series, and Washington was having its worst, one of the worst seasons ever. I mean, it was a disaster, and people were tuned off and all that. That's what it took for a team to, quote-unquote, surpass them in popularity, was a team winning the World Series, and this team being absolutely horrible. So if it takes that, like, to me, the measure of a popularity of a team is, how much do people stick with you when you're down? Because if the Capitals, once Ovechkin leaves and they're not winning, you're not going to hear anything about them. You know, and the Nats, if the Nats fall, you know, if they're 70-92 one year, it's not even going to be close to what it is with this team. You know, so that to me is when you really see the popularity of it. So, yes, it's taken an absolute hit, and they have to win back a lot of the fan base. And whether it's, I mean, and listen, a lot of it's got to be through winning. But again, I think people want to like this franchise again, and that's what they have to get back to. They have to get back to being something that people feel good rooting for, whether they're good or bad. And I think that's been a while since that's been the case. But so yeah, so it's taken a hit, but I still, you know, I think if you put on a phone poll in the off season, you want to talk about Dwayne Haskins, or do you want to talk about Max Scherzer? It's going to be Dwayne Haskins.
Right. Which then brings me to this. In the ability to attempt to like the team, and of course winning allows everybody to like, what does Ron Rivera mean in terms of the likability of the team?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think he's going to mean an awful lot, because he now is the public face of the franchise. So, and I'll give you an example. After that story came out, I got a text. I got a text message from Rivera, just his statement, and I put it out there. And it was one that, I mean, I was surprised at like how popular it became. But it was like it had over like 3,000 likes, and the number of replies or comments when people would retweet it were like, "I'm so glad this man is the face of this franchise," et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now other people are like, "Why is he the one having to make a statement? This isn't his doing or his team." But the overriding sentiment was, I'm glad that he's the one in power now. So he is a good public face for them. So I think he'll have a big say in that. Now, the other big say, like if you're winning and he's the face of it, that's even better for them. And, you know, while Dan Snyder can be whoever he is or whatever he is, and people can think, Jack Kent Cooke was not a very nice guy, and he owned this team for a long time.
Right,
and fans loved him. Because he, but what he did well was he hired good people, let them do their jobs, and they won. So they were successful and likable. And so I think that's what they'd like to get back to as a, you know, for the fan base, obviously. But so I think Rivera plays a role in that, clearly in building that. Now the question then becomes, as a football coach on the football side, he has a massive impact. But to get rid of some of the issues that were written about in that story. With the Post, it's not just about the sexual harassment and all that. It's about the overriding negative feeling in that building that has existed for a long time. That's going to take more work. And I think that's going to take somebody who's directly involved in the business side. I think it's going to be harder for him to improve that culture on the business side, because that's going to be, you know, you need to be the presence there every day. But on the football side, he can do that. And for the fan base, if they win, he absolutely can do that.
Yeah, because the way I read this is, what, 15 years worth of problems? Does that sound right?
For this story?
Yeah.
I think, you know, he's owned the team for 20 since 1999.
Yeah,
I think. Listen, one of the things that you hear when, I mean, I've talked to the last few days many people involved in the NFL, many, and my one question to them always was, what we're hearing, and you know, what eventually came out is what initially I thought would be the story, the level of the story.
Okay.
There was so much other wild stuff being thrown out, but when, so I only say that because when you're asking people, like, what goes on, and you can ask them about some of the crazy stuff you hear, but, like, you know, that you'd read or, you know, whatever it is. So, but my point was, does this go on everywhere? How much of this is unique to here versus what goes on somewhere else? And obviously in this, it's a testosterone-based league, so you're going to have some of this wherever. It's just to what level. And it seemed like here went to a higher level. But, you know, I don't know, you know, early, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, what was going on, if it was that bad.
Right.
You know, would it shock me? No, it wouldn't have shocked me, but I don't have, like, you know, proof or stories or anything like that, but it would not have shocked me.
It is a different story because it was different issues, but we saw how Adam Silver ended up handling Donald Sterling and the Clippers. He won praise for that, and he also won praise for it from the players. Does this put pressure on Roger Goodell as to how he handles this story at all?
Oh, I think there are going to be a lot of groups watching how they handle it. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, a part of the difference was it wasn't something, and I'm not trying to minimize what happened, but when people say about forcing a guy out, you know, because I, you know, it's, these are always sensitive things when you say it because you don't want to get misconstrued. But, like, if you're talking about forcing a guy to sell, does it rise to that level? Because he hired the people. It's his team, but he wasn't the one accused of doing it. Now, what we don't know is if they did hire an attorney to go through all these things. Now, it's not an independent attorney. The team hired her, and the NFL is going to check out her investigation when this is done and determine what kind of penalties or fines or whatever would they need to impose. So, I don't, you know, my guess would be it's not enough to get hit. They're not enough to do that, but it depends on what else they find. I mean, you know, who knows? You know, if you're like in college football, if the NCAA comes snooping around,
yeah,
they're going to find something on, you know? So I don't know. It's not what I'm expecting. I'll say that.
Okay.
I certainly know there's not a worry. It does not seem like there's a worry internally to them about that either.
Yeah, no, but it was worth the question because, I mean, it's at some point people are going
to
ask.
Of course. Listen, it's the number one. Yeah. It's a big question that has to be asked. And it's something that everybody's going to wonder because it also Jerry Richardson had happen to him, too.
Yes.
But there was a direct accusation of him. So, you know, and would there be pressure from other owners to do it? And if it is, then, you know, there are going to be some other owners who might be a little bit nervous.
Yeah, very thoughtful answers, which means now I can transition at least to something fun. So for you on the nickname, what's the leader in the clubhouse?
Oh, I'll be honest. I haven't even thought about the name in a few days. So I don't, you know, I guess the most popular one lately is Red Wolves.
Yeah.
That's fine. Whatever their name, I'm going to call them. You know, I don't. Any of them are going to sound like I. Red Hawks is one that I kind of like. Miami of Ohio would have made this. They made that same move 20 years ago, where they went from Redskins to Red Hawks. So I don't know that you want to do it for that reason, but it is a name that I like. I think you get cool logos and all that, but any of them are going to feel weird for a while. That much I know. And so I think it's just going to take time to get used to something else. Even if you didn't like the other one, it's still going to take time to get used to whatever the new one is. I mean, they've been that one for 87 years. And so it always feels, whatever they call themselves, it's going to feel weird. I think the reason I say with an R, too, is that it could lend itself to a helmet that for fans looks like they used to look in the past. They used to have the script R on their helmet, So if
yes,
you went
they did.
Red Wolves, Red Hawks. You can get that little script R, and for some fans, it can instead of, you know, you. There are a lot of people who are not happy about losing the name, and so this would give them a chance to feel like at least I'm rooting for the same franchise. And you know, and that's one thought. And you can keep they're very big on the HTTR, you know, Hail to the Redskins, and so they could keep the R in there, and they could, you know, they could tweak the fight song to, you know, incorporate Red Wolves, Red Hawks, Red whatever. So, mm-hmm. You know, so I think that's where I would, I'm guessing that's where they go, one of those. Red Tails is another one that's been talked about. But.
Yeah. Yeah. Tuskegee Airmen. Yeah.
Correct.
All right. John, absolute pleasure. I mean, I really appreciate the insight, the thoughtful answers very much. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me on, Steve.